Way to go. We got a new sound man back there, so we're working on it. All right. Well, I hope y'all got a good nap today. Well, I didn't get a nap, but that's all right. We had some fun, had some folks over, and that was nice. Did have Mountain Dew, yeah. Announcements, just a few. Remember the shirts. They are free over at the table in the fellowship hall. And then Children's Church will be growing next week to sixth grade, growing to include sixth grade. And Joe and Anissa are going to be helping with Children's Church now. So we'll have Joe and Anissa and Josh and Amanda and Michelle and all of them helping with Children's Church. So that's good. That's good. And had a good crowd this morning. Had a lot of folks. That was nice. It's good to see visitors and see some new faces and some faces that we've seen before and all that kind of stuff. And just had a good time this morning. Time change. So we are falling back. So we got an extra hour. All right. Fall back. Oh yeah, that'll be what, Saturday? Good. Well, good. And then the election is that Tuesday. So that'll be all interesting. No. I've already voted. Have y'all voted? Y'all voted if you're going to vote? I voted. I think early voting's still going on this week at the Expo Center, I think. Unless you're mailing in your 10 ballots, then. Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see. I think those are the announcements. Yep. Very good. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Surprise. Oh, that was a surprise this morning. I had no idea what was happening this morning. It was a nice surprise, very pleasant surprise, and a surprise nonetheless. Hebrews chapter 11. So we've really gone through Noah, the flood, looked at it a few times. Noah's days. Last week we looked at the covenant with Noah. God makes covenant with Noah. Now we're going to look at the New Testament commentary on Noah's life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. And Hebrews 11, it is the hall of faith here. Not to say that just because Hebrews is called Hebrews, that it has no application to people who aren't Hebrews, because we'll often look to Hebrews 11, and it talks about faith. And so there's a whole lot more continuity in the Bible than I think sometimes people give credit for. But anyhow, Hebrews 11, verse 7. The faith that is described in Hebrews 11 by multiple people, it plays out differently. None of them are mentioned as having faith, particularly in Jesus Christ, because obviously Jesus Christ isn't even born when these people are living by faith. But they are living by faith nonetheless, and making decisions by faith, and some of these decisions lead to longer lives. Some of these decisions lead to shorter lives. Some of these decisions lead to deliverance. Some of these decisions lead to imprisonment. So there's just a whole variety of experiences of faith in this list. And the one we're going to look at this evening is Noah's faith. One of the most intriguing characters in the whole Bible. And I think we've covered Noah's days and the culture and population and just some very, very, I don't know, just astronomical numbers of the fact that Noah and his family are the only ones that survive in a world of millions of people. And that's pretty impressive and pretty wild in itself. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says this: by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So there's righteousness by faith. Just like Paul says it in Romans, here it is all the way back in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, 9. Noah experiences righteousness which is by faith. And if you remember, Noah, after he gets off the ark, ends up getting drunk and bad things happen and all that. And so the last thing that's said about Noah is not necessarily good, but the fact that he built this ark and his family survived a flood is just it is an act of faith. And there's really three elements I want to point to in this verse. But this is Paul's, I guess, New Testament commentary on the faith of Noah. But let's pray, and I give you these three points this evening. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. We have to live by faith. That's what you said, the just shall live by faith. And that's the way to please God. And so seeing faith in other men's lives is instructive to us. But I pray that you would help us. I thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for a good day in church today. I pray we could end it up here this evening on a good note and be encouraged to face the week and be good testimonies and ambassadors for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, three things, and I'll just give you the outline, and then we'll go over it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, you see that faith comes by hearing the word of God, number one, which is stated in Romans. But faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. It means it doesn't come by seeing anything. And Noah didn't see anything when he built the ark. He'd never seen, some say he'd never seen rain before. He'd certainly never seen the world destroyed by water before. So that was totally new. So he just had to listen to what God said about it and trust that God was telling the truth when he said what he said. Second thing is, in Hebrews 11, it's said that faith is substance and evidence of unseen things. And Noah's life bears out the unseen and the trust in the Lord that he had when he built the ark. And he put it together. And when everyone else was watching him put it together, I'm sure the world was not impressed with him at all. Thought he was probably crazy and a lunatic. But his life bore out, it was in his life, the evidence and the substance of the unseen things that he trusted in, the word of God. And so, number three, you'll see that faith, not only does it come by hearing the word of God, it's substance and evidence of the unseen things, but faith is also what justifies a man or woman, and it's faith that justifies a soul. So those three things, that's the outline that we got. Now let's just look at this verse and deal with it the way it's applied to Noah's life here. He says in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The first part of this says he's warned of God of things not seen as yet. It may be that the world had never experienced rain. I know in Genesis it talks about there's a mist that comes up from the ground and things like that. And you're about, I don't know, 1600 or so years past that time, past the Garden of Eden time. And it may be that the world had never experienced rain. And that was the new thing that Noah had never seen before. But you can certainly say Noah had never seen a flood that destroyed the earth before. That's a totally new concept. And so when the Lord says, I'm going to destroy the world with water, and tells Noah how to avoid or how to survive that judgment, the Bible says he's warned of things not seen as yet. Maybe it was the rain, not seen as yet. It was certainly a flood of this catastrophic size, was never seen before on that scale. And so being warned of things not seen as yet is exactly like your faith, my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in these ways. Number one, you and I have never seen Jesus Christ. I've never seen Jesus Christ. Yet my whole life and standing up in a pulpit and reading the words of God and preaching the words of God and teaching the words of God and trying to magnify Jesus Christ to a community and to a congregation is all based on someone I've never even seen. I believe that he is. I believe that he existed. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is by the right hand of God the Father. I believe he's the mediator. I believe all of those things, but I've never seen him, and you've never seen him. And so to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to do exactly what Noah did, and you have to believe something you've never seen before. So the only way to believe that is to hear what God said about this man and trust that what he said about this man is true. And so that is part of faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's another thing you've never seen, and I've never seen it, but you've never seen heaven. I've never seen heaven. I believe it exists. And I believe that because I believe this is the word of God, and it says some things about heaven. I've never seen, and you've never seen, a place called hell. But I believe it exists, and I believe that that based on the words of God. And if you believe that, you believe that because you've read it in the words of God. The point is, faith is not something that's based on what's seen. It's based on the words of God and believing the words of God. I'll give you another example, kind of a negative example. There were people when Jesus Christ was healing people, his healing ministry, and he's helping people with their diseases and their sicknesses, there were people who watched Jesus Christ do that and still didn't believe Jesus Christ. They still didn't believe the words of God. The Pharisees the religious leaders literally had a close scrutiny of Jesus Christ's ministry, yet they never had faith in the words of God. So faith doesn't come by seeing anything. It doesn't come by seeing miracles. It doesn't come by through your eyes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there were some that heard about Jesus Christ, and they believed without ever seeing what he did. For instance, you're sitting in a pew on a Sunday night, you never saw Jesus Christ perform a miracle, but I think you believe in Jesus Christ. You never saw Jesus Christ heal anybody, but I'm sure you believe he's perfectly capable of healing whoever he wants to heal. So faith is it comes by hearing the word of God, first of all. And Noah hears the word of God, and the word of God says to Noah, I'm going to send a flood, and if you want to survive this flood, here's what you have to do to survive it. And Noah, being warned, the Bible says, of things not seen as yet, he'd never seen it, he trusts the word of God, and he goes and he sets out to do exactly what God said and prescribed to do. So Like I said, the things not seen as yet, it might have been rain, but it was certainly the fact that the world had never been flooded like this before. This was totally new. So faith is based on the words of God and based on hearing the words of God. And by the way, that is why it is so important and the emphasis we have on the Bible, the King James Bible. Part of this is your only connection to the things of God are what he said. And so if you don't have something you can trust to be his word, you can't rely on, you don't really know what he said or what he didn't say. And just, I mean, I didn't mean to go into this stuff, but I'll just say that was the question that came up in my life when I'm sitting there and studying Acts 8:37 for a Sunday school class, a teenage Sunday school class, and I realize in my New International Version, there's no verse there. And so my question to the leadership of the church was, did God say this or did he not say this? Because this is a pretty important thing. If he doesn't answer this question, then that's pretty important. And the answer was kind of, you know, it doesn't really matter. But the reality is, everything hinges on the words of God. And if your connection to the words of God is corrupted unreliable or unsettled in a way, then your relationship is going to be limited in some things. So anyhow, I mean, just because people say they believe the King James doesn't make them more spiritual or anything. There are people who are more spiritual who don't believe it, and they just act more spiritual. But that's beside the point. The point is, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Second thing is, faith is substance and evidence of the unseen. You read that in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Noah's life, that played out in building an ark. He the evidence in his life, and I know we sometimes use that as faith is I don't know, it's out there or something, but the point is in Noah's life, the evidence and the substance of the unseen that was guiding his life was the fact that he built an ark when no one else would do that. In fact, everyone else thought it would be crazy to do something like that. So he moves with fear. Here's what the Bible says. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So his faith moved him to do this. It wasn't an idea or just a sort of a thought he had in his mind. It was something that actually manifested itself in his life. And I'll ask this question. I think it's a probing question that goes along with this idea. But if Noah never builds the ark, does Noah have faith? No. Noah just dies in the flood with everyone else. So his faith is evidenced by the work he did in the ark building. He's not working for salvation or what do you call it, obeying the law for salvation. He hears what God says. God says, look, this is the prescription. This is what it's going to take. And Noah hears that and he obeys that in faith. It's just the work of faith is what it is. So he moves with fear. There's the substance, there's the evidence in his life where it's absent in everyone else's life that dies in the flood. And here's the idea that I think sometimes people will talk about faith as maybe just a religious thing. For instance, they'll say, well, our faith teaches us this. And what they mean is a catechism or something they heard catechism or a Sunday school thing, and they'll say something like, "Well, our faith teaches this," and they mean in their religion teaches this, but it really doesn't affect their lives in any way. It's just sort of this irrelevant idea that the church that they attend to puts out there and presents, but it really is an irrelevant kind of idea to their lives. It doesn't really make any difference one way or another to their lives. They just, that this is their faith. This is what our faith is. And I think sometimes even Bible-believing so-called folks have the same idea about faith. It's just, well, I have a King James Bible, or I have a Bible, so that means, you know, I have faith or whatever. It doesn't mean you have faith. It just means you have the opportunity to have faith because you have the words of God, but it doesn't mean you have faith. So Noah actually has faith, and people, on the other hand, his faith affects him. It moves him to do something and moves him to build the ark. Whereas I'm sure the people that died in the flood would love to have experienced the effects of being able to hide out in the ark when the flood came, but the problem is they didn't believe God when the flood came. They didn't believe God before the flood came. So that they would love the blessings that faith brings without the faith. They're just not interested in the faith. I love the blessings that the faith the rewards of faith. I love the blessings that come with faith, but I just don't want to be faithful. That's the idea I think of a lot of people is we love the effects of God's blessings, but we just don't want to be faithful with the things God's given us. And the problem is, well, if you're not faithful, you can't experience the blessings that go with the faith that give you the blessing. So anyhow, I hope that makes some sense. But people want the effects of God's work. They want to survive the flood. They just don't want to build the ark. They're just not interested in the ark. I want to survive the flood. I just don't want to be a part of the whole ark thing. Well, the problem is you can't survive the flood without the ark. So faith is substance, evidence of unseen things. I can hear him trying to talk Noah out of all kinds of things when he's building the ark, but we won't. We've talked about that before here. I think the ultimate point is simply this: faith is substance and evidence, and the substance and evidence that faith produced in Noah's life was the ark and survival of the flood. That was his faith. That was how it played out. And again, people love the effects of God's work. They love the effects of faith. They just don't want to build the ark. They don't want to be a part of the ark process. So here's faith as substance and evidence. And then lastly is this. Hebrews 11:7. It says, by the which, in the middle of the verse there, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So all the way back to Genesis 6, Genesis 7, Genesis 8, Genesis 9, righteousness always comes by faith, period. Righteousness always comes by faith. When Abraham believes God, the Bible says, Abraham believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness. When Paul goes through all that stuff in Romans, he talks about Abraham, he talks about David, who says, blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin to him, things like that. Faith and righteousness. When Paul explains what happened to the Jews, he said, the problem is the Gentiles sought righteousness by faith, and the Jews didn't. And that was the fundamental problem. It always came by faith. Faith that justifies. So I tell you what, look over in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, just along these lines. Faith that justifies. Here's Romans 1:17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's another one, Romans 3:22. Here it is again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Talking about Jew and Gentile, he says there's no difference when it comes to this matter of righteousness. Here it is again, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Look in verse 9, same chapter. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. One more time in chapter 4, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. You see, that is just righteousness is something that is given. There is no work you and I can do to get us out of a grave. There's no work you and I can do to give us a new body. There's no work you and I can do to make us right with God. In fact, in Hebrews, he says, look, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, period. Without shedding of blood, and then you got Jesus Christ who dies on the cross, resurrects from the dead, and all that kind of stuff. And he says, look, the blood of bulls and goats would never take away sin. It was never going to take away sin. Faith always came through, or justification, righteousness always came through faith. Here's another one. You're in Romans, look in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I'll give it to you later on. Here's another one later on in Romans chapter 9, look in verse 30. And this will be the last one we look at here in Romans. In Romans is just full of explaining all this stuff. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. That's what they've attained to. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. That sounds like they were supposed to believe in Jesus Christ. Their whole culture was set up to believe in Jesus Christ. We talked about that. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So Noah is just, I don't know if he's not the first one. You got Enoch, you've got Abel, who is a predecessor to all this, mentioned in Hebrews 11. But the writer of Hebrews mentions and says, well, when Noah had faith, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, and that's the thing that's gone on for years and years. Job talks about it. We went through Job. The point is righteousness has to be imputed, even to, for instance, and as we've mentioned it so many times before, you've got these, before Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead, you have these Old Testament saints who are waiting to get the righteousness of God. Here they are in Abraham's bosom, you could call it. Here they are waiting because they can't go up. They don't have the righteousness of God yet. They're just waiting. And so you read about it when Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead. Some of the graves, looks like in Jerusalem, they open up. And then people come out of the graves. Now they've got, they can be clothed in the righteousness of God. It's physical bodies changed, all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, back to Noah. Noah's faith, it comes by hearing the word of God, which is just like your faith. His faith has substance and evidence of unseen things. His faith also justifies. This is the faith that justifies. This is the faith that makes someone righteous, because there's no way for someone to make themselves righteous, because we are all in the position of being sinners. So Noah has faith, and as you'll read at the end of Genesis, or at the beginning of Genesis 9, when Noah gets off the boat, he's already received the righteousness, which is by faith. But does that mean he doesn't mess up? Well, he gets off the boat, he gets drunk, and bad things happen there. But apparently he's already received, just like Abraham. When Abraham believes God and God counts it to him for righteousness, there's about two or three chapters where Abraham just keeps messing up and messing up. But God's already reckoned him as a righteous soul, and so he's already got what God's going to give him as far as that's concerned, and so that comes by faith. So Noah's faith, it does the same thing. And I'm going to read this to you one more time in all this context, because this is the commentary on this Old Testament account here in Genesis. This is the New Testament commentary on it. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Great commentary on faith and its value and how it works and all those kinds of things. So this whole chapter is full of these accounts. And like I said, some of these folks in this chapter, some of them live longer lives because of their faith. Some of them live shorter lives because of their faith. Some of them get deliverance because of their faith. Some of them get killed because of their faith. It's all these different experiences. But it's all faith, and it's all faith that justifies a man. So that is Noah's faith, and that is the commentary, the New Testament commentary on Noah's life there back in Genesis. So let's pray, and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful to see these few things about faith, and I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for justification. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for, Lord, even offering eternal life. Thank you for sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Just, I can't even fathom it. But thank you so much for the blood that was shed for my sins, and then for the sins of the whole world. But then also resurrecting from the dead and offering eternal life to whosoever will. Father, I pray you'd bless these folks that have come out tonight and those that are watching. I pray you'd bless them at home. And we could learn from Noah's faith what we need to learn by the things that you've highlighted in this verse here. The few things that you've highlighted about his faith that are instructive to our faith. And pray that we would get what we need out of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.